When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? Welcome to the Churros y Tácticas podcast. It is Friday the 9th, and yes, you heard this correct. It's churros for everybody, baby. On a Friday, you ask? Yes, indeed. We don't skip a churros, okay? We might be late, but as the saying goes, better late than never, folks. So we're going to give this a two-part, let's say, to our listeners. We're going to give our listeners a treat of hearing the free one. And then for all you lucky subscribers to our Patreon page, you got a juicy part two coming up as well. So, as I said, better late than never. Keon is in the house as well. Thank you, Keon, for holding down the fort. It feels like, once again, an eternity since the last time that you and I have spoken. So much has happened since then. It's weird how the world doesn't wait for us, eh? The world just continues. A lot has been going on. We're going to break it all down over this two-part churros episode. Again, this one going out to everyone, all of our listeners, and then afterwards we'll break down further detail and get to your questions. I see that the Patreon page is blown up with your questions, so we're going to get to that in the part two.
News moves so fast, Diego. Like, man, it's just quick. It's been a busy week. Like, you know, it's funny because the season winds down and just when you think it's about to chill, you can relax. It's actually, I feel like, harder in the off season because there's an unpredictable nature. Like during the season, you know, there's a game on this day, there's a game on this day, there's a game on this day. Da, 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 da. You map it out. It's like, oh, Bellingham's going to be announced on this day or Benzema leaves this day. Like that's, it's just so volatile and unpredictable. So you almost have to be like on call and it makes it really difficult. So like it's been busy. Like Wednesday night, we did a huge emergency Bellingham podcast.
Was it emergency? I mean, you knew he was coming.
Kind of, but like just also the fact that was what happened with Mbappe last year. You never know, man. You never know. Nothing is done until it's done.
Sure.
So, it's been pretty busy, and who knows what's to come. I don't know.
We must be ecstatic.
Well, we hope that it's going to be a lot of emergencies this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency Haaland, emergency. I don't know who else. Emergency Mbappe, emergency Kane. Bring them all. Emergency every day. Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but like, yeah, it just we're hoping. Like, yeah, thanks for Bellingham, because you said congratulations, or what, I don't know what you said. You must be excited. Mm. I'm excited, but we're also like kind of wary. Like, okay, who's gonna replace Benzema? Who's it gonna be? Kind of worried about that, man. Kind of worried.
So, I feel like you guys have had so much time to think about this already, and I'm sure that all of the Managing Madrid listeners will have been asking you guys that. You would have been discussing that on the podcast for time. Especially this season where, you know, if last season, of course, he was the Ballon d'Or, the standout striker in Europe, this season is, can we say a letdown? I think that's accurate. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that you guys would have been talking about his replacement already all season, with Haaland in particular off the map, unless something crazy happens. You know, who's been at the top of your list here? I mean, it must have been the Harry Kane. It must have been. I can't think of any striker that would fit a playing style or a team even better than Real Madrid, or yeah, a team like Real Madrid better than a player like Harry Kane.
So there's questions about this for part two for patrons,
right? Sorry,
but just the top of my head, I mean, it's a really, really difficult market, I think. One, because it seems like it's like Harry Kane or bust for Real Madrid, which is a really tough position to be in because you're dealing with Daniel Levy, who is an absolute just stubborn guy who will make it as difficult as possible. And they also come from a position of strength in negotiations because they know Real Madrid just lost Benzema, and Harry Kane is a perfect replacement for Benzema stylistically, and they need him. And then you also look at the other options that Real Madrid have. There's not many exciting names for that position. There's also a lot of confusion because do they want to wait till 2024 to get, you know, someone like Haaland or Mbappe, which in my opinion is a mistake because you can't. Mm. That's such a huge risk. You need somebody right now. It was less risky a couple weeks ago because Benzema was theoretically still here. We thought he would stay one more year. And so it was less urgent at that point. You could get away with just, okay, signing a backup like Jose Lu, or maybe promoting Alvaro as the backup, or some of these lower profile strikers that we've been linked with. They're okay because it's just a backup. But now it's just more urgent. You can't just lose Benzema and not get anyone else in return. Mm. So there's just this news floating around of Rodrigo being the guy because you can't get anyone else. Like, okay, we'll sign a winger, we'll put Rodrigo as the false nine and call it a day, which is like kind of concerning. So there's a chance that we could not be good next year for this reason if we don't get a good striker.
Well, there's always hope, of course, but two things I want to address. One, based on off of what you said, Kian, one is this whole Daniel Levy, however you want to pronounce it. This
I actually don't know. I've never heard someone say it. I just say Levy. Lucas Levy, the other day said Levi, which threw me off completely. My brain just got fried.
Well, it is Levi's jeans is spelled that
no,
way.
No, that's I.
That's what an I. Levi's. Yeah. But I feel like the Spanish media have created this mythical figure, if you will, almost of Daniel Levy. And at the end of the day, you guys always got what you wanted. You got Modric, you got Gareth Bale. Did you pay hefty sums of money? I don't remember what Modric went for. I would
relatively cheap. I mean,
probably cheap. Yeah, right. Because
it was cheap, given that how good he was. But
yeah. Exactly, and Bale, of course, became massive news because he was more expensive than Cristiano, even though again the Spanish media tried to hide that. But at the end of the day, you guys got what you wanted. So what's going to stop you from getting somebody like Harry Kane, who I would imagine is aspiring to join a team with higher ambitions, with more greater possibilities for him to win both collective and individual trophies at a higher level, you know.
What is your thought looking in on this as a Kool-Aid?
Well, I think I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be able to get somebody like Harry Kane. Do you need him to play ball? You know, probably. By that I mean he might have to force the move, which players in the past have often done for Madrid, for Barca as well. But and in the case that you in the most extreme case where Madrid do decide to try to go all in for a Haaland in 2024 and say, okay, we're gonna move Rodrigo in the nine position, it all now with the signing of Bellingham, it almost makes sense because that way you can move Fede Valverde in the wing position, you know, on the right wing, and then you have your three midfielders in Tchouaméni, Camavinga, and Bellingham. So, you know, my question with Bellingham, with the Bellingham signing, what, you know, besides the jealousy that I felt because, you know, what a great signing, what a fantastic player, both future and present prospect do you have now amongst the ranks, was, but who's going to be the sacrificial lamb? Oh, my camera
who's going to be the sacrificial lamb, right? You have these great midfielders now that are carry upon their shoulders the transition in that, yeah, the transition from Casemiro, Kroos, Modric to now Tchouaméni, Camavinga, and Fede Valverde, but now, you know, Bellingham has been added to that mix. So who will be the one that will be sitting on the bench, assuming, of course, that you will play with three midfielders and not four? I don't know, but
yeah, like these are all interesting things you brought up. I think part of the problem and part of the frustration that Madridistas have is, like you said, well, this is an opportunity to play Fede Valverde on the right wing, which, by the way, as much as that is a possibility, obviously, because we've seen it quite a bit under Carlo, I think what is even possibly more likely is you might see Bellingham as like the third attacker because he can play as an attacking midfielder.
Hmm.
I think part of the frustration that Madridistas have is that a lot of these quote-unquote solutions that have been put forth is just players playing out of position. Like, what is the solution to our left-back roles? We'll put Camavinga there. What is our solution to the fact that we don't have a right-winger? We'll put Fede Valverde there. Lucas Vazquez has been turned into a right-back over the last few years. We have fans right now being like, well, should we put Fede Valverde as right back? Like, what other options do we have? Like that's where we're at. And it's like that these can't be solutions. And then this report that, you know, Rodrigo is going to be made a striker as the solution. All that stuff doesn't really sit well with us because
sure. And
it's this constant. Now, if there's anyone who can reinvent players, it's Carlo. He has a good track record. Whether you go back to Pirlo, Di Maria, There's a decent track record with Carlo doing this, but I don't think it's the actual should be the plan A. I think it's like something you can fall back on situationally in games, and that's fine. But we need just players in their positions is what we need, you know.
So Rodrigo has never played as number nine.
No, he has.
It's not.
But as we've never seen it as a consistent striker, and the things he lacks as a number nine to play that consistently is that he doesn't have the ability to, like, if you, let's say, compare him to Benzema, can you do some of the link up stuff that Benzema did? Yeah, of course. Like, outside of the box, Rodrigo is great and he can score goals too and contribute, but Benzema was able to attack crosses. He was able to get on the ends of chances really well. He was just great, and he was a great finisher. Rodrigo, I think, lacks that frame and that ability to get on the end of things like a striker does.
Mm-hmm.
And what Rodrigo does so well is I think he can just contribute more as a roaming player and can play down the middle and create things outside the box and link up with others. But I don't think he has the striker profile. So can he play there situationally? Yeah, I actually trust him to do that. But as game in, game out, to give you 25, 30 goals, I don't think that's the solution. The problem is that if Real Madrid don't get Kane, it's like you look at the list of options and it's kind of underwhelming.
I mean, yeah. I could see why you say that. Having said that, I mean, you hear names like Osimhen often being mentioned and linked to the Premier League, which is kind of why I didn't take that into account as an option. Mm-hmm. I think Osimhen has proven to be a really top striker, having done very well. The name that I'm seeing linked with Madrid is that kind of is a head scratcher for me, but that might be my complete sheer and utter ignorance on this case, is Havertz, if I'm pronouncing his name right.
Yeah.
I also saw earlier, I think it was yesterday, that there was clips of him, like there was something like, I think Rudiger walked by and then you see Havertz in the background and everybody got all excited on social media because they felt like it was a subtle message that... I'm referring to a video. This was a video used by the club, by Real Madrid,
mm-hmm.
sort of a promotional video, if you will, or a video that they put out on social media, and they kind of focused on Havertz standing behind Rüdiger, so everybody was getting excited, thinking that they were somewhat announcing whether it's the signing or the intention to sign that player. So that was the first time that kind of came on my radar, and like I said, that was a surprise for me. But an Osimhen could be a very interesting, I think, prospect or potential signing for Madrid.
So I agree with Osimhen. Like, the thing is, it's not that there's not options.
You pronounce it Osimhen?
I don't. You know what? Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea, Diego. It's funny because between the two Napoli players, the one I can't pronounce is Osimhen or whatever. I can pronounce Kvaratskhelia more than I can pronounce this guy. And I probably even butchered that one too. But Osimhen is the one I struggle with more, actually. We just haven't been linked with him.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah, exactly.
And so whatever the reason for that is, I'm not sure. I assume partly it's because of the price. Maybe there's some skepticism that he doesn't have a huge long track record of sample size. You know, he's been good for like 3 years or whatever, but, you know, it's only last year that he really took a leap scoring-wise. So is he going to do that over the course of a few years? Right. Maybe there's some skepticism that combined with the price, but I don't know. But at this point, whatever we get is an upgrade to what we have, which is nothing. We have nothing right now. So Lautaro Martinez, for example, is not a player that I'm that excited about, but is he better than what we have now? Yes. Other names, you know, there's some younger profiles like Gonzalo Ramos, young up-and-coming striker, can put the ball in the back of the net.
Like, his name's like Julian Arbalez, where I'm like, no, you're not going to get him. I don't see that happening.
Well, that's the thing.
And names Timo Werner, where I'm like, surely not Timo Werner. I don't know.
Timo Werner is like the Timo Werner, Kai Havertz, those names, those guys are not going to give you reliable goal scoring. So I share your head scratching with Kai Havertz. He's not going to lead your line and score goals. Can he come off the bench and do some stuff outside the box? Sure, that's a good squad player to have. But someone who's going to be your starting striker, I don't trust that. Julian Alvarez, a lot of fans ask about him and suggest him. A couple things. He is, I mean, not yet anyway, is not going to be... Like, you compare him to someone like Harry Kane. Harry Kane is a great goal scorer. Julian Alvarez is not a great goal scorer. Maybe he'll morph into something more one day if you give him consistent playing time. But Julian Alvarez, that's going to cost you not only an arm and leg, and it's probably going to cost you your head, your legs, your toes, your fingers, because he just extended with City. So, and City love the fact that they have him coming off the bench. They don't need money. Why would they help Real Madrid? You know?
Yeah. No, exactly.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
What about this one just occurred to me? I mean, you'll have to do some mental gymnastics to kind of fit him in. And most likely, it would leave you with Rodrigo at the number 9. But it would strengthen your right wing position, assuming that he could play there, or you move Vinicius to the right, and that's a Neymar. I mean, somebody that you hail one of the best players in the world. Wow. Still.
Don't make me say no to Neymar, because I love Neymar.
I know you do. That's why
I really like Neymar. As far as like ex-Barca players go, him and Ronaldinho are probably my two favorite ever. But it's no.
Oh, happened to the best? Well, one of the best.
Two, three.
Wasn't he in your top three? He was in your top three.
I had him top five in December.
Top five.
It was like a few months ago.
Right.
Yeah, that was just after the World Cup where he was amazing. I just can't trust his health and his off-field professionalism. McDonald's too.
And his McDonald's.
The first word that came to my mind was McDonald's.
Because of that picture, right?
Yeah. Madrid has a lot of Burger Kings and McDonald's. Can't trust it.
Ask Eden Hazard, right?
Yeah. I think for you to sign Neymar, this is what would have to happen. You would have to have a GPS tracker on him. It would have to be in a contract. No clubs. No, there would have to be a restraining order. Like, you'd have to, as soon as he sets foot inside a McDonald's or a Burger King or a Five Guys, it would beep. Like, Florentino would get the emergency alert on his phone at 2 a.m. He'd wake up. It's the only way you could sign Neymar. Neymar, if he was a little bit younger, a little bit more professional, yeah, for sure. Because we've actually seen him and Vinicius coexist too in the Brazilian national team, so it's tactically possible too. But no, way too risky. Also, PSG, no. I don't it's impossible. What have you ever been able to negotiate with them in the Nasser Al-Khelaifi?
Yeah, but they're desperate to let go of this man. I mean, once again,
desperate enough to give something to Real Madrid
and even Barca. There was reports that after the Messi no-go, that all of a sudden Neymar was being tossed our way once again. So you could get him, man. You can get him. You could make your dream come true.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to flip it to you. I'm going to flip this to you. What if Neymar was free right now? Would you take him back?
Free? What's he earning?
I don't know. A lot.
Because, I mean, his salary is ridiculous. Like, obviously, we cannot.
Well, that's actually the biggest barrier is his salary.
Right, exactly.
Maybe not even PSG itself. Yeah, when does his contract run out?
I think it's 26. I think it still has he has a couple of years left in it. I don't know if it's 25 or 26.
2025.
Okay.
Which at that point, he's going to be 33? I wouldn't touch him at that point. No chance.
No. And I don't think many clubs, at this point, want to really go the Neymar route. It's sad, but it's the last time when we talked about him, that's kind of the point that I was illustrating. I was like, well, it's dunzos, man. It's another Brazilian superstar, a star that has simply faded too quickly for his potential.
Also, he's really shooting himself in the foot with the way he... the way he kind of just treats himself, his body, because I wonder if by 33, when his contract is up, will that hinder him from getting the last payday in the Middle East or MLS? Like, will he just be so broken at that point? They're like, you're not worth the $200 million we gave to Benzema, for example.
Yeah, I don't expect him to get that kind of a payout. I do expect him to have,
but on name
suitors.
Alone, the name Neymar is such a massive name. Like,
exactly. So you know you're going to sell tickets. At least upon arrival, the expectation will be huge because it's Neymar and let's see what he does on the pitch. But, you know, I just don't think you're going to get much production out of him. And it's, as you said as well, you know, if like in a Cristiano, you see that he is still somebody that takes his vocation, his job very serious and is 100% professional about it. You know, you can pretty much guarantee that with a Neymar, that's the complete counter opposite. It's the polar opposite case. It's somebody who already now, you know, ever since really he made his move from Barca to PSG, but also during his time with Barca was, you know, known for his love for the nightlife, whether it was forcing yellow cards so that he could fly to Brazil to attend his annual sister's birthday party, which those must be epic fucking parties for him consistently every year, force his way to attend that. Wonder what goes on with the Neymars. But yeah, I mean, that was during his prime, you know, and then while he went over, when he made his move to PSG, I mean, it's now how many seasons? It's like five consecutive seasons where he's never been able to finish the season due to injury problems. And, you know, it's like,
you know, yeah, like this is the thing. Neymar, like on the field and healthy, even at this age, is amazing. But here's the biggest problem why it's absolutely not worth taking the risk. The most he's ever played in his career in domestically was the 15-16 season with Barca, 3,056 minutes. Since, this is crazy but not surprising, at PSG, he's never even hit 2,000 minutes. And this past season, he played 1,500 minutes. It was also, I mean, not bad, like 24 goals and assists altogether. But he's like, if you compare 15-16, the Barca season, which is his best season ever, he is not even close to that right now. Like not even, and it's just getting worse and worse. It's declining. It's on a downward trajectory. And so
exponentially, you could say. Yeah.
So it's kind of sad. Too bad. Another one bites the dust, man.
Another Brazilian biting the dust. Yeah.
I have so much admiration for the Brazilian people. They are truly like, I just want to say this. They are truly, and I have Brazilian friends, I can attest. The most pleasant and fun people to be around. Just such a joy. Always happy. Always just the life of the party. I enjoy being around them so much. But I just wish they would, when it comes to football, just age a little bit better. Just like when you're like 25, just tone it down.
It's true. Yeah. So. Just to wrap up this one, who's number one on your wish list then?
Harry Kane.
Of course.
Not even close.
Well, I think you'll get him. Again, I don't see any reason why that shouldn't be attainable, given the track record between Tottenham's Hotspurs and Real Madrid. Will you have to pay a pretty penny? Probably, but I'm sure
I'll tell you why, I think. Like, unlike...
That it will happen?
No, that it possibly won't.
Oh, okay.
Unlike the Gareth Bale situation, which you mentioned, with Gareth Bale, Real Madrid was like, at all costs, this guy is young. He is an absolute freak. Hit him in one wing, Ronaldo on the other wing. Whatever pennies it takes, gather him up. With Kane, it's like he's 30. Florentino doesn't really have a big track record of signing 30-year-olds. Actually, this one actually blew me away. I knew it, but I never realized it was like this. Matt Wiltsy for Managing Madrid, he wrote an article. He went back and looked, and there's only one player ever that Florentino has signed at the age of 30 and over. And that was Ricardo Carvalho, That was the only one he's ever signed that age. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And I was like, holy shit. So there's like a clear skepticism that Florentino has of players at that age.
How old was Cannavaro when he signed?
He was the Ramon Calderon signing.
Ah.
So he doesn't count.
Right.
So, and plus, like, you have, he's probably just absolutely scarred from Hazard, who was just 29, and he's probably wakes up every night like 3 a.m. with cold sweats. Like, Hazard. Like, probably like.
Is that McDonald's alarm going off?
So I think he's probably like that, coupled with Levy's stubbornness, could be a bad combination for this particular transfer to happen.
Okay. Well, so then it's all hopes on 2024 possible Haaland Endrick combo. Endrick, who I read was sort of getting some sort of disciplinary action from his coach. He has been benched for the past few games, but now.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. But then yesterday came out in the game and scored a bunch of goals. So I was hoping that you could shed more light on that. I didn't know this.
So.
Okay.
I don't know.
But I mean, so you're not following the I mean, he's a Madrid player now officially.
Right? I know. I'm not following him as closely as I should be, to be honest. There's just too much. You have to kind of just pick and choose at this point. All like if he plays and scores, that's what I know about. Which I know he scored. He scored against Barcelona SC a couple days ago.
Yes.
But I'm just googling it now from like 2-3 days ago. Yeah. But I don't know enough about it to speak about it right now, to be honest. Okay. He's 16, man. When I was 16, I was jumping out of my window.
Is there footage of that? Please. Just give it to our patrons.
No, fortunately not. Back then, no. 2023, if that happened, I'm sure that someone will pick it up on camera. I did want to talk to you about a couple Barca things. And then on part two, we're going to talk about Messi going to Miami and a bunch of other questions that came in.
Why did I have to do the intro, by the way? You left me in mystery.
Oh, because on Friday, I did the solo podcast for patrons, and I said, if, because it was a Castilla Classico, that's what I framed it as. Yeah, it was Castilla versus Barcelona Atletic. Big Classico it was the first leg of the Segunda playoffs. I said, if Barca win that, Diego will do the intro. If Castilla win,
right
I'll
on.
Do the intro. And right of course, yeah, you guys won
4-2.
That
was 4-2. A good game. You guys went up 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Then things got interesting.
Well, part two got really annoying. But there's a second leg to be played, so hopefully Sunday, we'll have to make a comeback. But
did you watch that?
I did, yeah.
Were you impressed?
With what?
I don't know, the game, the quality?
I mean, it was hard to enjoy it because I was just so annoyed with losing.
Well, let's see what happens.
I think I took some notes. I think I had some notes about your team. I can't remember what they were now. I was impressed with a couple players. I forget who was the one I was impressed with the most.
Luismi?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, actually. I was supposed to call that game, and then I got taken off of it. Or my boss shifted my day, rather, my work day. So I won't be calling that one. But I was secretly kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll definitely be watching the one on Sunday because, you know, this is a huge – I mean, it's a huge game for both of us, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's a really huge game for us because we've been so much of – the reasoning behind Real Madrid not calling up the Castilla players when we needed them was, oh, these guys are trying to get to Segunda where they need to keep their players and all that stuff. And a lot of that didn't make sense because like there were times where Castilla had like a week off and we could have really used one or two of those players and we still never gave them a chance. This is a lot, man. Like this is, we've hyped up Castilla so much, you know, yeah. Raul, a lot of pressure on his shoulders because, you know, he's trying to impress for it's kind of like a tryout for him, like all this whole stuff, this whole thing with Castilla, this push to Segunda. It's a big game, a lot of pressure to come back. You're down 2-0.
Yeah, no, you've been very big on Castilla all season.
Yeah.
I've been a little bit more quiet on Barça Athletic on Rafa Márquez's first season. I truthfully didn't think that we were even going to make the playoffs in the end, and we had a very good second half of the season where this team really came together. And, you know, give credit where it's due. Rafa's done a good job, and he's also had to deal with players coming and going and leaving for the under-19, the youth league, and really turned the season around. And in the end, you know, we managed to get into the playoffs. And then when it was decided, like, however that draw was made, that it was decided that Barça was going to play Madrid, you know, I immediately thought of you and I was like, shit, you know, Kian must be licking his chops and loving this because he must be expecting Castilla just to have its way and this to be a cakewalk. So
no, I definitely didn't expect that. I there is frustration with Castilla because there is talent there. And of course, we're missing our best player, Sergio Arribas. He's injured. But I think there's frustration the fact that Raul not necessarily getting his lineups correct. And like, there's also confusion as to why some of these, like Iker Bravo was a big signing for Castilla. Remember that? From Leverkusen? Raul just does not play him. Like, he does not play. And everyone's like, whoa, what happened to him? Like, this guy was supposed to be like an option possibly for the first team. And so there's kind of confusion about that. And we don't feel like Castilla's necessarily the talent is being maximized. So anyways. Couple Barca things that I just wanted to before we get to part two for patrons.
For sure.
I think if you guys get Gundogan, that's an amazing signing. I think he answers a lot of questions and because we've been talking about Busquets too, like who replaces him, and it's a tough position to fill because Busquets obviously was such a generational player at that position. You guys don't really have an anchor like that in your squad right now, so someone needs to be signed. Playing Frankie there is kind of like just playing him not in his best position. I don't know if this is possible for you guys, but if you guys get the combination of Amrabat and Gundogan, which I don't know if it's necessarily possible, that's a home run for you guys because Amrabat is a good player as a defensive midfielder. He's a good passer. I wouldn't trust him in every single game, but I would trust him as a squad player for that position. I think if you're relying on him to be like in like a Champions League knockout game as a starter, I think that's a little bit too optimistic, a little bit too much out of his pay grade, in part because while he's a good passer, I don't know if I trust him to in the build-up structure that much under pressure, although he was actually pretty good under pressure in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Gundogan can play that role and he can play it to a T. And I don't even know if that's necessarily Gundogan's best position because he can play in multiple different positions, but I think a combination of him and Amrabat would be a home run for you guys. Is that too out of the realm of possibility to get both?
It's a good one. I never considered that, to be honest. It's always sort of been or, right? It seemed that Amrabat, I mean, already last summer and then during the winter and Jesus, I really gotta fix this camera, bro. Sorry. That he was trying to force this move to happen and trying to, you know, pleading for Fiorentina to consider it. I mean, and I have to say as well, at the time La Liga made it impossible for Barca to sign him, so I always felt that, you know, he was kind of on the top of the wish list of Xavi to join the squad, and kind of made my, I mean, not my peace, but sort of assumed and accepted that he was going to be that guy that would eventually come once we would get the financial okay from La Liga, until and the name of Gundogan started to, you know, circle. And it, for me, that was like, well, I guess we're now moving on from Amrabat. I never considered that we could have both. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, you also mentioning that Gundogan can play in different positions in the midfield, not necessarily just as the holding, you know, defensive mid, is not something that I considered neither. I think it's interesting. You know, I don't necessarily mind strengthening the midfield, even though right now it's a position, of course, that we are already quite deep in. I want to give continuity to the three, the young Pedri, Gavi. So we know that Xavi right now fancies the system as well, where we have, you know, let's say the fake winger, if you will, like, I mean, a midfield of four. So, and Amrabat is younger as well, right? What is he, like, in his mid-20s, whereas Gundogan, I think, is already in his 30s or has hit the 30. So we'll see. The papers are saying that Xabi has convinced Gundogan. At the same time, I'm reading in England that his move to Arsenal is, you know, pretty much a done deal. All that's needed is a signature. So I don't know how this thing is going to end. If you ask me, I think Gundogan will be the more natural fit.
And just the better player, full stop. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Indisputable, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we got another podcast to tackle. And we're short for time. Diego.
Jump on over, folks. Yes.
Join us, patreon.com/churrositacticas. It's $3. Just, you know, you just toss it over instead of buying that bag of chips you were going to buy tonight. And we'll see you there. A lot of great content. Peace.
Peace out. Sports Social Podcast Network.